This morning we're studying Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 to 33. It's out of the section on the Proverbs of Augur. The Proverbs of Augur comprise Proverbs chapter 30 and are canonical according to the Luke chapter 11, verses 50 to 51 testimony. In other words, we know that they're inspired of God because of the implication by the Lord Jesus. So we view Proverbs 30, 24 to 33 of that collection of Proverbs for our edification as follows. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into his word this morning. Lord, we are so grateful this morning for the privilege that we have of gathering together in the fellowship around the word of God. We thank you for the indwelling presence and power and the gifting of the Holy Spirit to equip us to comprehend the word of God and to utilize it and the power to live it and apply it. So we ask for wisdom today, Father, to follow your leading and to rely upon your power that we might heed the word of God for blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'd like to read the passage out of the King James Version, and then we'll translate it directly from the Hebrew text. Proverbs 30, beginning at verse 24 and going to verse 33. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people, or creatures not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The conies, or rock badgers, or hyraxes, are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks or in the crags. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by ranks. The lizard you can grab with your hands, and yet it is in king's palaces. That has to be retranslated, of course. Verse 29, there be three things which go well, yet four that are comely and going. A lion which is strongest among the beasts, and he does not retreat before anyone. A greyhound, a better translation would be a strutting rooster, and a male goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk brings forth butter, and the wringing of the nose wringeth forth blood, so the forcing of wrath brings forth strife. Okay, we do have to retranslate some of these in order to make better sense of them. Proverbs 30, verses 24 to 28 actually is a single proverb, but let me translate it directly from the Hebrew. Four things are they, the small, the insignificant ones of the earth, but they, emphatic pronoun, are intensely made wise. The ants are a people or creatures, we would translate, not strong, but they prepare or they store up in the summer their food. Rock badgers, or you can say the hyrax, are a people or creatures not mighty, or they are feeble, but they place or they set their house in the cliff or in the crag. The locust has no king, but it goes out dividing itself into companies by ranks, all of it together. And then a lizard you can seize in your hands, but he, emphatic pronoun, is in king's palaces. Now we learn from such fragile creatures to realize our limitations so as to compensate for them in wisdom. One of the tremendous lessons in life of wisdom is recognizing that you're not the most powerful or the most intelligent or the most gifted person on the block, so to speak. Recognizing those limitations, but then to survive in the world of competition, you compensate for the limitations. Now, for example, the ant, we can learn from the ant habitually to work to save enough for the future though our daily income is limited. Ants are very, very susceptible to the temperature of the environment that is around them. And in the wintertime, an ant can hardly move. If it did not have food close by, the ant would starve in the wintertime simply because it can't move fast enough to gather the wood, the food, to eat it. Now in the summertime, when the outside temperature warms up, the ant is much more mobile. But the ant takes advantage of that ability to be mobile, and he's always gathering food, generally much, much more than what he can eat. Because every time you see the ant, he's got that little food in his mouth. He's going, he's gathering, 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 gathering. So when his body slows down because the temperature slows down and he can't get out, and also in the wintertime the food may be not be that accessible because of the rain or snow or whatnot, he's got the food nearby and then he won't starve. This teaches us the tremendous importance of saving in our years of earnings so that we have something, a nest egg for the future. You can apply retirement savings in here. You can think of savings in general. Americans are beginning, because of what's happened in the stock market and so forth, are beginning to save more and spend less, which is a healthy thing long term. Short term, it's not good for the economy, but long term, it's very, very good. Many years ago, I read, back in 1993, actually, in an advertisement in a money magazine, I read Bill Berger's advertisement for his Berger Growth Fund. And he pointed out that if you'd stuck $50 a month into his growth fund beginning in 1972, 20 years later, in 1992, that $50 per month would have grown to over $96,000. Now, he said if you had increased that to $75 a month between 1972 and 1992, it would have been like $114,000. And that excited me because I said, wait a minute, I can do that. So I went ahead and I got enough money and I started investing. Actually, he had a small company's growth fund and started investing. Bill Berger is now deceased, but I started investing. And what's happened is we've gone through roughly the last 10 years, some of the worst years in the market. But if you've been investing in it, you're way ahead because the market has been down. Now it's starting to go up. So I'm very grateful for learning about that illustration. But he pointed out how the ant gathers a little bit at a time, but it's so consistent, it gathers up an enormous amount over time. So we can learn from the ant habitually to work and save for the future, though our daily income is limited. Then, like the rock badger, we can gain safety by making wise insurance moves. See, the rock badger or the hyrax can't defend himself against predators. If you have a lion that comes along or a hyena or something like that, and the rock badger's out in the open, he's cooked. You know, he's a food. He's the next meal. But what he does, he hides himself in the rock cliffs that are inaccessible. In other words, he builds around himself insurance. Believe it or not, the time when a family needs the insurance the most is when the children are small and at home. And often that's when they at least think that they need it because they think, wait, you know, I'm okay. But no one knows if they're going to get terminal cancer. No one knows if they're going to get hit in a car accident and die and so forth. So I always recommend, I had, in fact, my daughter called me up and said, Dad, our financial advisor recommends that my husband take out at least $1 million insurance. Do you think that's a little steep? And I said, well, can you afford the premiums? Oh, yeah, but it's more costly than what we have now. I would say I have to agree with your financial advisor because your health is such that if your husband passed away, you couldn't work for 40 hours a week. You'd be utterly dependent upon something else for your income because your children are small. So right now, you need that $1 million at least because you need it for living on for and so forth. So go ahead and get the insurance if you can afford it. And so we need to be careful about making wise insurance moves. Now the locust, like the locust, we can aid ourselves by organizing and cooperating with others. Locusts are very weak little animals, but when they go together in huge ranks and they're very organized, they're a very powerful entity and they can destroy an entire countryside because of their effectiveness. It is to our advantage to learn to cooperate with other people and to organize ourselves in relationship with other people. We can do a lot more than being alone. And then the lizard. A lizard is opportunistic. That's why you find the lizard even in the king's palace. I don't know if you've ever lived in a tropical nation. I grew up in Nigeria, and lizards were absolutely everywhere. You had to protect yourself, otherwise they'd be running into the house. My dad and mom planted strawberries outside, and the lizards love strawberries because they're sweet. And so we had this running battle with lizards, but we just planted so many strawberries, we could always get strawberries because the lizards couldn't eat them fast enough. But lizards were so plentiful, as a child we would kill them, and then I would practice doing open heart surgery on them. I mean, it's the life of an MK, you know. But anyway, but lizards were ubiquitous. They were everywhere. And that's because they're opportunistic. If they see an opening, they go for it. And that's the way God wants us to be. We might be limited, but if there's an opportunity that comes our way for a job or increase or improving our health or whatnot, go for it. So we can learn from these little animals, the ant, the rock badger, the locust, and the lizard. We can learn from them to recognize that we are people of limitations, but don't let the limitations stop us. Face the limitations and then compensate for the limitations. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 29 to 31, asserts three things are they of march or pace that are pleasing. In other words, they are stately in their march. And four that are pleasing in their walking. And whenever you have a proverb, you have three plus four, or two plus three, and so forth. The latter one is the one that has the big focus. Everything else is building up to it. So we're going to focus specifically on the latter one. First of all, a lion who is mighty among beasts, and he does not turn back or retreat in the face of anything. The girt of loins, literally, zarzir matnyanim, and it's very difficult to tell what this is. Most, the New International Version and the English Standard Version, most translate this as the strutting rooster. The King James translates it as a greyhound, but it seems like the strutting rooster, which would fit the context. Or rather, even the he-goat, a male goat, and a king whose army is around him, or against whom there is no rising up in rebellion, either one. Since numerical proverbs of the quantity X plus the quantity X plus one highlight the final entry, the author taught that if we meet a leader like a king who is surrounded by his supporters, he will not retreat like a lion, he's proud like a rooster, and he's aggressive like a he-goat. So in meeting a leader in the presence of his subordinates, we must not antagonize him unless we are prepared to defeat the entire group. That's something that's very important to keep in mind when we're in business dealings. If we walk into a boardroom and here's the head of the board in front of there and so forth, we need to be very careful how we approach the person. Otherwise, we can turn the whole board against us, kind of a thing, or all of his subordinates against us. The implication is to be very, very sensitive as to the power and the influence of a person before we oppose him publicly. Now, the only exception that I would know is if you're called upon to oppose a person because of your stand in Scripture, Scripture stands, then you have to go ahead and take the stand. But generally, you have to be willing to pay the price on that. Now, Proverbs 30, 32 to 33 claims, and this is, I believe, in connection with Proverbs 29 to 31. But beginning at verse 32, if you have been senseless or foolish, Nabal, and exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hand to your mouth. In other words, just be quiet. Don't talk anymore. For as the squeezing of milk brings forth curds, and the squeezing or wringing miss again, slightly different meaning, of the nose brings forth, yasa again, blood. So the stirring up, miss again, this third time that verb is used with a different meaning. So the stirring up of anger, up, and this has another meaning other than the nose, brings forth strife. There's a tremendous play on words here between the words miss and up and so forth. But as exalting oneself or devising evil produces strife, as surely as churning butter produces butter and wringing the nose produces blood, if we discern that we have exalted ourselves or plotted evil, we must immediately stop our foolish errant activities so as not to make matters worse in our relationship with the party that has upset us. And I would also take this to applying back to the previous proverb in verses 29 to 31 that if we have somehow offended a person who is powerful and influential and kind of gotten into trouble, instead of trying to walk our way out of it or talk our way out of it, the best thing to do is to be quiet. Just take on the chin, what we got coming our way, and just be quiet. Because if you try to get out of it, it's going to make matters worse. It may actually antagonize the leader all the more. So we need to be very, very careful. It's interesting that each one of these Proverbs, starting verses 24 to 28, and 29 to 31, 32 to 33, talks about recognizing the fact that we are limited. We are limited in power. We are limited in intellect. We are limited in gifts. That being the case, we have to put on sensible wisdom, where we recognize the limitation, we accept the limitation, and we compensate for it in a very shrewd, biblical, godly manner. I know even as a pastor, sometimes as I've gotten relaxed in talking with people, I relax a little too far, and I'll start giving suggestions or ideas that really are not, you can't really back up with Scripture, and I've gotten myself into trouble that way, just kind of throwing things out. It's always good to remember that you're limited. My wisdom cannot begin to compare to the wisdom of God. So everything that goes on, all the words that I do, I have to be thinking in terms of a biblical basis for that, and then you protect yourself. You compensate for your own weakness, your own limitations. Very, very important to do it. So may we align with God's fixed moral order in each of these realms for blessing. Okay, I want to open it up for questions and answers and feedback in regards to this or in regards to something else. I personally believe there's a tremendous amount of content here, especially in the first proverb, dealing with the limitations and the small animals and so forth. We can learn a lot from these animals and how they function. One animal, before I open it up to you, one animal I've learned a lot from is the cat. My daughter Joanne has a cat, and his name was Monty, and he's been in our house, but of course now Joanne has taken him. He's up in Massachusetts right now. But I've learned from the cat, we hear the phrase, curiosity killed the cat. Monty was extremely sensitive as to everything that was around him. He knew absolutely everything that was going on around him. He could look at us and he could read our moods just by looking at our faces and our body language. And even though he didn't know what we were saying, he could tell by our actions and by the routine that we went through what we had in mind. That is a protective measure that God has built within the cat. The cat wants to know everything that's around. This is why cats, they like to get up on a high place where they can see. The reason is they want to know everything that's going on around them. That's for their protection. That's why they get up high. And the more they know, the less confusing it is. When Joanne put Monty in the cage and took him outside into her car, he was absolutely mortified because it was the unknown. She let him out of the cage and he went around the car and so forth. And when she took him into her apartment, she said his tail was down and he was going around sniffing absolutely everything in the house that he could get his nose on just to find out who was where. Now, when her husband, Craig, came home, he's used to Craig. He's seen him before, so he ran up to him and rubbed up along his leg because he knew he recognized Craig. And cats have long memories that way. But I've learned from that, it's always wise to make sure you know what's going on. Be aware of things that are around you that can actually help and protect you from danger. They say women have a tremendous tendency to be much more aware of their environment than men. Men are too focused. We generally focus on one little item. Or a woman can walk in a room and she knows everything that's going on around her all at once. Just boom. She can sense it immediately. And I think that's because of a protective thing that God has built within a woman. It's like a cat that way, to become aware of everything. So there are lots of lessons that we can learn just from the animal world, and how animals compensate for their own weaknesses or their own limitations. We need to be very careful to do that as well. Okay, I'll open it up for questions and feedback in case you have.